It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And Heidi, Jennifer and I had a little conversation this morning early on about the rhythmic nature of nature. And given that, I put together just a quick list of some of the things that you might be watching for in August. And right at the top of my list is that the spreading dogbane, those 2-3 foot high plants with the little bell-shaped white flowers that are streaked with pink, plant has dark green leaves and red stems. You pick a leaf off, you're going to see a white milky sap. That's spreading dogbane. And it will begin to turn yellow in August. It is among the first of the parade of colors that we will see in the month of August. Along with the spreading dogbane, maple, red maple, and I have seen several in the last week that are beginning to show some signs of color change. It's not all ending. There will be the bottled gentian will be blooming. Boneset will be blooming. There'll be a number of asters that will start to bloom. Goldenrods will be blooming this month. Just a lot of plants that are going to just get their flowering started. I have New England asters in my yard, and they typically don't even begin to flower till near the end of the month of August, and then they'll flower all the way up into October, and usually after several frosts, they're still flowering. So lots of flowers yet to come. Black ash is going to start to turn yellow. Balsam poplars are going to start to turn brown. I guess if you're looking for good news, the end of the month of August will mark the end of the deer flies, or at least their beginning of their decline. I guess there are a time or two in the 40 years I've been keeping track that the deer flies can bleed on into September, and bleed is appropriately chosen for deer flies. But usually by the end of the month of August, deer flies are pretty much done. The deer who have been dressed in bright red or reddish color all summer will begin to turn gray. And speaking of gray, gray goldenrod will bloom this month. At the end of the month, Labor Day ants, Lasius neoniger, these little ants that make the little cone-shaped volcanic copies in your yard, these tiny little, look like volcano caldera. They're just these, well, they're a little cone shape with a little caldera at the top. And the ants that make those holes are going to send out their elites at the end of the month. They're called Labor Day ants for a reason. It's usually the end of August or the first part of September. They enlarge the opening of their hole. So if you're looking at these things, study them a little bit. Sometime this month, that hole is going to get much bigger because the elites, the males and females, the winged males and females, are going to emerge and fly off and breed, and then the females will start new colonies. So watch for the Labor Day ants. Nighthawks will migrate through the month, through the area in usually in the third week of the month. Male hummingbirds about that same time will begin to head south, as well as the rose-breasted grosbeaks will begin to move out of the area in August. Looking at some of the things that are happening right now, and in a few of the walks that I took over the last week, just to give you a rundown, mountain ash. The native mountain ash, the showy mountain ash, Sorbus decora, is beginning to take a blush on its berries. Bunch berries are ripe. Choke cherries are getting ripe, not quite ripe, but getting there. I was out for a walk, when was it? Saturday? I think it was Saturday I took a hike, And choke cherries noticed were starting to get ripe, and I was walking along, and all of a sudden I was being scolded by a catbird. And the catbird was not going to let me interrupt its lunch. It was eating choke cherries. I found it in a big choke cherry tree, and it was definitely eating the ripe choke cherries. Black choke berry, not even close to a choke cherry, totally different plant, but has the same astringent nature. If you pick one of those berries and pop it in your mouth, it's going to coat the interior of your mouth with, it almost feels like paraffin, or like if you've eaten deer tallow, sometimes it just coats the inside of your mouth. That's what happens with chokeberry and chokecherry, but they are not related at all. Think chokeberry is, well, I don't even want to go into it, but they are, flowers are different. Fruit structure is different. They just don't look at all alike. They both have dark purple berries when they're ripe. The pagoda dogwood berries are just starting to take a blush. A few of them are getting to that blue stage. Nanny berry berries are still green. The blue bead lily berries are bright blue. These are the ones that come up on about a 10 to 12 inch stalk, and there'll be 3 to maybe 5 of these berries on that stalk, and they look beautiful blue, and you think, why hasn't anybody eaten these? Well, nobody's eaten them because if you're not a bird, they're going to burn when they go in your mouth. So don't eat the blue bead lily berry. Speckled alder is just putting out its catkins, and these are the male flowers for next year. So if you go up and look at the speckled alders right now, you'll see these green, 1 inch long, sort of banana shaped little structures, and those will be next spring's male flowers, and they are coming out now on the speckled alders. Hazelnuts are ripening, and I think that some are being harvested. Usually it's this is the 4th of August, and I think the average date for the disappearance of hazelnuts is around the 10th. So sometime between now and when we speak again, I wouldn't be at all surprised if the hazelnuts all disappear. I keep track of 3 different hazelnut bushes, and in the last week, I have noticed a decrease in the number of hazelnuts on the bushes, but it's, you know, it's like, I think last week there were 13 that I found and counted, and this week I can only find 10. Well, you know, I think somebody's, you know, tasting them and going, not quite yet. But soon the hazelnuts will be ripe, and then they will disappear. Interrupted fern is beginning to turn brown along my driveway, and I mentioned already that the red maples, I have seen a few red maples that are starting to change. Fireweed, it's going to be big patches of magenta. And if you look carefully right now, you'll see that most of the magenta on there are the seed pods and not flowers. They're done, not done flowering, but they are certainly near the end of their flowering. So the seed pods, which are the same color as the flowers, will be the predominant magenta color on the fireweed right now. Milkweed are putting out pods. I found some that were, you know, the size of my thumbnail, and some that were nearly full-sized. So milkweed pods are coming out. Field mint is blooming, or wild mint, kind of a 12 to 15 inch tall plant. Opposite leaves, square stem. If you crush the leaf, you'll get a real strong smell of mint. In the axil, that is where the leaf comes off of the stem, you're going to have these clusters of little pink flowers, and that is field mint. Flat-topped aster, large-leafed aster are blooming. The large-leafed aster is the one that blooms. It's usually in the woods. You're going to see leaves that are 5 to 6 inches across and maybe 7 or 8 inches long. And the flowers are going to be blue and they're going to be incomplete. So if you think of a daisy and you think of the rays that stick out around the daisy, imagine if you came along and pulled out some of those. So just pull one, skip two, pull two, skip two, pull one, skip. So you're going to have this incomplete flower, which is characteristic of the large leafed aster. And it's going to be this blue flower. So check those out. In my yard, a plant called cup plant. It's got leaves like the boneset. They join at the base and they form like a cup. And oftentimes after a rain, there'll be water in those little axils of the leaves. They grow quite tall. Mine are probably 8 feet tall now and probably pushing their way towards 9. They will have yellow sunflower-like flowers when they bloom. Rattlesnake root or white lettuce is not flowering yet, but the flower buds are present. That is about on schedule. Common ragweed is about to flower. I see the flower heads on the common ragweed. Common ragweed is probably growing in your yard somewhere. Now, if you look at these plants, sometimes they're only 2 to 4 inches tall. Sometimes they're a foot tall. Sometimes they're even taller than that. They have a kind of a fern-like leaf about them, a very heavily cut leaf. So check them out. They're probably all over your yard. Oftentimes, because they bloom when the goldenrod blooms, people say, well, I have an allergy to goldenrod. But the common ragweed pollen looks like the thing that was at the end of the handle and chain called a mace, that ball with the spikes on it that they used in war in the 15th and 14th centuries. It's really, really astonishing when you look at a magnified picture of the pollen of the common ragweed, and it's hard not to imagine if that thing went up your nose that it wouldn't tickle or at least cause some response from your sinuses, because it is a kind of an ugly looking structure, that pollen sac from the common ragweed. Wild bergamot is blooming. Common burdock is blooming. Purple fringed orchids are blooming. If you're in the right spot, and I never know where the right spot is because on my mail route it used to move around from year to year, but there were always a few of these tall, like 24 to maybe 30 inch tall stalks, and at the top of the stalk were 15 to 30 purple flowers that had these ragged edges on them, and that is purple fringed orchid, and it is blooming right now. If you're lucky enough to be in the neighborhood of some of it, you will notice it, I hope, and enjoy it. Go look at it. It's really a cool little flower. Canada goldenrod is blooming, and I did some research on goldenrod because every year I try to figure out what is what with the goldenrods, and I get so far into it that I'm lost for a couple hours, and I'm thinking to myself, come on, surface, go back to the surface. So I did a little work, and besides Canada goldenrod, the other two goldenrod flowers that have these wild sort of Sideshow Bob kind of hair or flowers are tall and giant goldenrod. And they are likely blooming as well as the Canada goldenrod. It's difficult to separate all three, and goldenrods hybridize. That is, they will pollen from the tall goldenrod, could land on a Canada goldenrod, and you get a plant at the end that is sharing the same signs. And the problem with the goldenrods is that the signs are pretty subtle. I mean, sometimes it's how... If you look at the back of the flower, there are these little bracts that in goldenrods are called phalaries. And those things, whether they're 2 millimeters long or 4 millimeters long can be the difference between tall goldenrod and Canada goldenrod. The one thing that is kind of telling is that both the tall and the giant goldenrod are the ones that get the galls. So if you're looking at goldenrod galls, you're looking at tall or giant goldenrod. And the difference, the giant goldenrod gall is glabrous or bald, and the tall goldenrod gall is hairy. So if the outside of the gall has hairs on it, it's tall goldenrod. If it's bald, smooth, it is giant goldenrod. And the fact that the galls are there at all tells you that it's not Canada goldenrod, because the flies that lay those eggs don't like Canada goldenrod for one reason or another. Insects and other things that are going on. Let's see. Ruffed grouse are taking dust baths all over my property. I find these little divots. In fact, there's one right outside the studio that you can see looking. It's a little hollowed out spot of dirt, usually kind of fine dirt, and the ruffed grouse and other birds get in there and they sort of fluff out their feathers and they get this dust up underneath, and it's a way of controlling the vermin that afflict them, the fleas and lice and whatnot that they might have under their feathers. It kind of relieves some of that itching, so that's why they take those baths. Lots of monarch butterflies right now. I'm seeing a number of them. And I'm also seeing some monarch butterfly caterpillars. So lots of things going on there. Carolina grasshoppers have emerged. These are those grasshoppers that are, they have black wings with a white border. So they look a lot like a mourning cloak butterfly, except that when they land, the wings all fold up and disappear. Final note, and this was just one of those things that happened last week and was absolutely magical. I was walking along the edge of this pond full of cattails, and I noticed these bright green dots on the cattail leaves. And I got to looking closer, and they were brand new gray tree frog tadpoles. Not tadpoles, frogs. But one of them that I captured and looked at, you could see the remnants of its tail. So this frog had been a tadpole probably earlier that day or yesterday, the day before. And last week on Tuesday and Thursday, they were plentiful. On Saturday, there were only a few left. So I suspect that in this pond, the young gray tree frog tadpoles had metamorphosed into frogs and had moved on from the water to the dry land where they will spend the rest of their lives. Well, they'll be back in the water in the spring to lay eggs for next year's tadpoles. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you have observations you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you.
It's the Tuesday Morning Show on KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with John Latimer.